Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, you going to give me the big thumbs up? All ready to do it? There you go. Tom is engineering our show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, the day before Halloween. It's October 30th, 2015. We're live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're streaming our show two places, KVOI.com, the station's fine website, and then my website, which we're very proud of as well, BuckmasterShow.com, where we have all of our podcasts and our show archive. Friday especially, we like to do a shout-out to the media friends who support our program, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com have the Buckmaster Show prominently displayed on their home pages with links to our website. The Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos. Sheriff Nanos was sworn in. It will be 3 months exactly on November 1st. He succeeds, of course, Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, who was Pima County's top lawman for many years. Joining me in studio to question the sheriff, just arriving, just in the nick of time, Tim always makes it just under the wire.
It's it's that noontime rush hour.
There you go, yes.
Every time I'm coming here.
Or the weather is bad today. Tim Steller is here, fine columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, welcoming your calls, questions, or comments. The Facebook page, we just went over 4,400 friends on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. That means there's still room for you if you'd like to join us. And our Twitter, I'm doing the Twitter thing, had an account for years, but now slowly cranking it up. So if anybody wants to follow us on Twitter, slowly gaining a few followers here and there, it's at Buckmaster Show. And I know, Tim, you do a little Twittering, don't you?
Oh, yeah, just enough to get me in a lot of trouble.
Sheriff, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for coming in. How's the first 3 months been?
Well, day 91, I'm not counting, but actually very good. I'm just so excited for the opportunity, and I'm out and about with the community so much. It's just really, I said this yesterday at an event, that people should just go home every now and then and just turn off their TV, their news. Of course, KVOA producer KVOI didn't like that, I said just shut down the news, because it's not as bad out there as they project it to be. We have a great community with some good people who every day just do great things.
Well, yeah, and Andrew Weil advocates an occasional news fast. Take a break from the news.
Good.
And, you know, I agree with him to a certain extent. Anyway, Attorney Brad Roach, who is representing Dr. Lyle Bootman, the pharmacy dean who has been accused in this sexual assault case that is all over the news, big story this week. Mr. Roach, the attorney, criticizing you, Sheriff, for speaking out in this case. And Mr. Roach feels that you should not have had any comment, basically, on the case.
Well, here's my position for this. Mr. Roach, on the afternoon of the arraignment, came out on the court steps with his own statement claiming how his client is innocent and how dare anybody accuse him of these crimes, and then basically says to our victim that he, Mr. Bootman, is actually the victim, not our victim. And I think that my role is to, you know, exactly, stay out of these cases and let the courts do what they do. But you can't come out and attack a victim who was brutally assaulted, sexually assaulted, and not stand up for her. Somebody's got to stand up for this victim. She wasn't good. She didn't have a press conference. She didn't have no media. I think what Mr. Roach was just trying to do was simply, he recognized that his client was high profile. This was going to get some media attention, and he tried to shut it down from the onset. Well, you can do that, but you're not going to attack our victims. Our victim was attacked brutally, and that's enough.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, maybe I missed this. So he attacked, metaphorically, of course, the victim verbally after the arraignment?
Yes. After the arraignment, he had passed out to the media a flyer that gave basically a press release, if you will, that listed how shocked and saddened Mr. Bootman was for this. Well, first of all, he couldn't have been too shocked or saddened because he knew of this case 3 weeks prior when we went and confronted him. To sit back and say that poor Mr. Bootman is the victim here, woe is me, that doesn't play well. He's not the victim. The victim went to the hospital with serious injuries. Mr. Bootman had no injuries.
Okay. I guess what I'm asking is, so the day after you made these comments, which would have been yesterday, the day after was yesterday, Brad Roach came out and did another statement in which he, I guess, went further than he had the previous
something
day,
about her financial
saying
motives.
Saying that she had a financial motive.
My goodness, really? This is the 21st century. We don't treat our victims that way, whether she had a criminal history or not, and we've not known that, but that's not our role. We don't run our victims. But if she had a criminal history and if she had a financial motive, that gives nobody the right to treat an individual the way Mr. Bootman treated this lady.
Jim, you want another follow-up?
Yeah, well, so it's a fascinating case, of course, if you're not part of it, because it involves such a high-profile defendant. And I'm just wondering how that kind of how the case works differently when you're dealing with someone like, in this case, Tucson wealthy, at least $287,000 a year.
Kind of following up on what you UAD. Wrote about. You're following up a little bit on what you wrote about in today's column.
Sure. Yeah. So how is it different?
Well, for and you're going to get into the justice system and how it may be different there for those affluent or less affluent. Mm-hmm. In our world, in the law enforcement world, there is no difference. We take a report from someone who calls us and says they have been assaulted. We go to this lady, we take her statement, we deal with the hospital, we get the medical records, and we conduct our investigation from there. We try to find the individual who's been accused, in this case Mr. Bootman, and give him an opportunity to express what happened. We also then, through a search warrant, through court orders, do our work to find and gather evidence. That's all we do. Once that's done, we take that information to the county attorney's office and say, we'd like to issue charges. The county attorney then makes the determination as to whether they issue right there or they go to grand jury. We go to grand jury. Grand jury comes out with, in this case, a summons, not an arrest warrant, and he is then arraigned. At that arraignment, the judge, of course, has the authority to either release him on his own recognizance, set a bond, or order him in custody with no bond.
Oh, I guess I didn't understand something clearly then. You're saying the grand jury is who determines whether it's an arrest warrant or a summons?
I'm sorry. Not the grand jury. Yeah. The judge at arraignment. Yeah. I apologize if I said that.
Okay. We have a call right now. Is it Phil who is on the line? Tom, is Phil ready? Okay. Tom, is Phil ready? Go ahead, Phil.
Hello.
Hi, Phil. You're on the air.
Oh, well, that's the wrong one, but I do have a question. I don't understand how, if the sheriff is making all these decisions and telling people what a terrible person this is, how can we ever have a fair trial of this guy? And it sounds like this sheriff ought to resign starting today.
Okay. Go ahead, Sheriff.
Well, first of all, I didn't make any statements. In fact, if you read our press conference, our press release, we didn't even hold the press conference. You read our press release, it simply states the facts. And the facts are that Mr. Bootman, on this date, October 2nd, was accused by a victim of a sexual assault. And here are the charges. That was it, factual. We didn't come out and say anything about our victim in her medical conditions or any assaults to her, just the charges. It was Mr. Roach who came out with his statement saying how his client is completely innocent, shocked and saddened, and how he saved several people's lives and what a great man he is, and that this victim is just lying about this. Once that occurs, I didn't go to the media. The media came to me with this information, and they came to me, and I see my role as defending our victims in this community, and that's exactly what I did, and that's what I'll continue to do.
All right. Is it Phil who is – okay, now we have Phil on the live line at 790-2040. Go ahead, Phil.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to follow up with the first caller, and I agree with the first caller. Shame on you, media people. Shame on you, Sheriff. I understand what you just said, but however, in a situation such as this, the best thing to do is for the sheriff to just stay the heck out of it. Let the courts determine, let the grand jury determine, but it's just unfortunate that the media wants to just make a big deal of this, and it's true. Will this person really be able to get a fair trial from it? Now, I'm not making any kind of claim whether I think he's guilty or not guilty or she's guilty or not guilty. It's just that, once again, the media gets into the mix, and Sheriff, you're buying into the media mix, and that's wrong. Stay the hell out of it. Thank you.
Could I step in on behalf of the capital M media?
Yes, the media people.
Might as well tear up half the newspaper and three quarters of the newscast. Because, when a crime occurs, I think if we said nothing about it, everyone would be complaining that there's this vacuum of information. No, we want information out. And then to add one more factor here, in any case where there's a lot of media coverage, and even in cases where there isn't, the judge, and I've seen this numerous times, he has a huge pool of jurors to pick from and winnows out the ones that have excessive exposure or a conclusion in their mind, and then instructs them not to read anything. I mean, the system has dealt with this thousands of times. Yeah. It's not something that we have to worry about so much.
All right, let's take a break right here. It's 12:15. Sheriff Ananos will be with us for another segment, and there are some other areas that I want to get into with the sheriff. Let's take the break right here, Tom. Go ahead.
The storm was over, my ship sailed through. What is this feeling? What can I do? If you and I could be relieved.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend, with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. Magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Comes around here just about midnight. She make me feel
Van Morrison
so good.
With the group Them back in 1964 before Van did it alone, went off on his own. Probably their signature song. It was their big hit, Gloria. And we do the 60s bump thing here on our Friday Buckmaster Show. Sheriff Chris Nanos is our Friday Focus interview today. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Charles has been waiting very patiently. Charles, I do want to change topics, so please make this very quickly, please.
I'll be very brief. Sheriff Nanos, I please appreciate your being willing to put yourself in the public rotisserie that being asked questions by the public. That said, you said something I find kind of disturbing, and that is that you don't run your victims. Doesn't your own policy manual of detective operations actually demand that an investigation be done on the victim when it's a serious case to establish if there's a motive for a false report? I mean, isn't that basic detective 101?
Yes, sir, it is. I mean, when I say we don't run our victims, we're not going to run them and find that, for example, I don't know what criminal record he's claiming she has because the only thing we found were traffic offenses. I'm not going to put out there that our victim of a sexual assault was convicted or had speeding tickets. It has no merit to what's going on. Clearly, if we run our victim and we see there's a case of maybe fraud or some sort of false reporting to police, we're going to investigate those things and see what that entails.
Thanks. Yes. That answers my question. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Okay, I want to switch to three schools, TUSD schools. Will be getting some school resource officers, courtesy of the Pima County Sheriff's Department. What will the role be, Sheriff Nanos, of these officers? And some have questioned whether or not the immigration issue will come up. Will your officers be enforcing SB 1070, so to speak?
Okay, so the role of these officers, the main focus of this whole thing, we're going to go back quite a few months when, even years, when we got rid of our SRO programs. It was budgetary reasons, as Sheriff Dupnik would have pointed out to you, but today I just see the value is greater if we can get them into schools. And the only reason I say that is there's a lot of studies out there that show that if you can get your kids to graduate high school, their chances of going to jail are 70% greater. Less. In other words, if you don't graduate high school, you're 70% greater chance of ending up in our jail. And I thought, we deal with recidivism, we deal with those issues that where people consistently return back and forth, but I'd rather deal with a preventative measure to stop them from going in there the first time. And dealing with the youth of our community, that's the future of our community. Those are our future heroes. Those are our future teachers and doctors and lawyers. We need to be in there to mentor them. I can't think of any greater mentor than the 1,500 young men and women who work for me every day. I just can't. And if they can get in there as a role model, as a mentor, to deal with some of the issues these kids deal with the schools and help them get through some issues, as well as the parents and the teachers, then we should be there.
Sure. I can see there could be a value in mentoring these kids, but is there not a just as great a risk that having law enforcement officers in the school will turn a disciplinary situation into a criminal conviction that will then bring people into the system?
We're talking about the pipeline to prison and that theory. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with that theory that can happen. If you get kids into our system early on, there are studies that show if these kids get suspended from school, they probably will never finish school. Those are all valid points. Now you have to apply reasonableness to it. I've talked with all of the boards, school district boards, Sunnyside, TUSD, Vail, and what we've come up with was that our role is not the disciplinarian. Sometimes principals or teachers would call us and expect, hey, go scare this kid. We're not in the scare business. That's not our role. And our school resource officers know that. Their role is to sit there and be a problem solver, help these kids find ways to deal with issues. You know, sometimes we have mandatory reporting laws on kids who are injured or whatever, assaulted and that. Well, a reasonableness. Because 8-year-old Johnny gets socked in the nose by 10-year-old Sally, really, is that a police matter? Or can the schools actually deal with those issues? We think that the schools can deal with those issues, and we can be there to support those efforts and document whatever needs to be dealt with and deal with the parents on those issues. But it really shouldn't be every time you have these kinds of incidents, law enforcement needs to be taking enforcement actions. There's more to law enforcement than enforcing the law.
You know, police and sheriff, all law enforcement has been so much in the public eye and really under scrutiny. How does that affect your officers when there's so much negative publicity toward your profession?
You know, my staff knows that they deal with typically 2% of the population 98% of the time. Most people come, this community, everybody, most of the people we come in contact with are so good. They are, my officers are no different. My deputies are no different. They wake up in the morning, they get their kids ready for school, they feed them, they take them to school, drop them off, go to work. At the end of the workday, they come home, they stop at the grocery store, get what's needed for dinner, set dinner, get the kids ready for bed and that, and wake up and do it again the next day. That's what our community is about. Living life, normal lives, we're no different than you. We are a part of this community. We don't just work here. We live here. We play here. And that's what we train our uniformed officers, our deputies, to know it. Like I said, I think I've said this before, we have such great involvement with our community from officers who just donate their time. Whether 2 weeks ago, I had a staff of civilian staff go to the soup kitchen on their own. Nobody told them, just to serve those less fortunate. We countless numbers of times where we've done some community benefits. No bosses told them. The sheriff didn't tell them. The sergeants didn't tell. They did it on their own because that's who they are. That's their DNA. It's in their hearts.
Sheriff, you're bringing that up reminded me of an issue that arose, I think, this week. I got some calls on it, which is a homeless encampment and or panhandlers at one of the corners on the northwest side. I think Inan La Choya, is it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so what's going on with that? And is that something you should be handling or what?
Well, you know, Ms. Miller is the representative on the north side. We had a meeting last night. Our lieutenants out in the field are basically, we tell them, they're the chiefs of police out there. We want them to have some autonomy and deal with the community problems that they see and be right there. Lieutenant Dominguez was there last night and talked to him. I talked to him this morning. There's a lot of frustration on this issue. And to be honest with you, I understand the public's concerns and that they think the sheriff's department should be more actively involved in these matters. But what I can't stress enough is we, the sheriff department, cannot be the ones to write the laws. That's what our board of supervisors are for. That's what our state legislators for. We enforce the laws. And so when we get, you just have to look back as far as I think it's October 7th of this year in Aurora, Colorado, Denver area. They just got struck down again for panhandling laws. The panhandling law, you put that word in there, you're going to lose it every time. The writing of that law should be something that's devised by through the county attorney's office, I'm guessing, maybe the state attorney's office, and look at how those laws are being written. There's some successful ones, and then there's some that the majority haven't been very successful. There's a lot of challenges to this situation. We have a homeless problem, and I don't know that writing any law is going to cure that problem. We need to look at what is the causes there, and what can we do as a government entity, not the law enforcement, but just the entire county government or state government, what can we do to get these people the help they need?
And, of course, mental illness being a huge component there. And so your deputies mm-hmm. deal with that probably almost on a daily basis.
Absolutely, we do.
The
yes.
people that yeah. really need help and
yeah.
treatment.
The jail is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. 70-80% of those people in there suffer from mental illness. And another 70-80% probably suffer from substance abuse. Sometimes they just seem to go hand in hand.
All right, Sheriff, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for being with us. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
Thank you.
Chris Nanos, the sheriff of Pima County, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller will stick around for our next portion of the program. We call it the Friday Roundtable, and Mari Herreras joins us from the Tucson Weekly. We'll be right back.
The storm was over, my ship sailed through. What is this feeling? What can I do? If you and I could be relieved.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers 2-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a 4-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. On Friday, we do the bumper music, our intermission music from a different group from the 60s, and this time we're really digging back into the archives, a group called Them. They came from Northern Ireland, and they were famous for their lead singer, Van the Man Morrison. So, I don't know, did he do like Tom Fairbanks, one album maybe? With Them, yeah, probably this their debut album that had Gloria on it and a few other big hits. But anyway, pretty good music from Them. And, of course, Van Morrison is, what can you say, Van the Man. Tim Steller sticks around from our first segment with Sheriff Nanos. Tim is columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Mari Herreras is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. Mari has had certainly a full plate over the last couple of weeks. Her big issue, the Best of Tucson issue, delayed because of a printing situation. But now, the good news is people have been talking about the Best of issue now for 2 weeks.
I really like that attitude.
Yeah, so that's the spin.
Embracing that.
Yeah, so when I go to pick up the weekly, like over at Casa Video or other places, they're all saying, oh, yeah, we can't wait for the hard copy. I mean, they've been online, but now they want the hard. So you've spaced it out over 2 weeks.
Maybe this will become a new tradition.
Yeah, following that logic, yeah. I think maybe push it another week or month. Make it Best of month.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's only a couple more weeks after
What the heck? These things happen, so what can you say?
Yeah, they do, but not very often, and unfortunately.
On your watch,
yeah,
right?
That's what did it to you,
and I know how conscientious you are, and kind of your first year as, being the head honcho there for editorial, and then to have this happen. But
lots of fun.
Anyway. The education issue is one of the big stories, certainly, of the week. And, Tim, you wrote in your column Sunday, I believe, right? About the
Wednesday.
Oh, man, how time. Yeah, put it all runs
a long
together.
A few days, let me tell
yeah,
you.
Well, it's so complicated, this particular plan, and it depends on this. And the voters still would have to approve this in a special election in May. Mm-hmm. Why not, as you suggested in your column, and I tend to agree, wasn't there a simpler solution?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing you have to remember in all these discussions is that the governor and the legislative majority, desperately want not to continue cutting taxes and definitely not to raise taxes. And so by using the state land trust and asking voters to increase the withdrawals from that, they're able to avoid putting the general fund surplus that they have now to use for education. As I argued in my column, you know, that means that they're using a money that is already belongs to education, the state land trust fund, and paying back education with their own money. That's why I don't like the situation. On the other hand, you know, it's a deal. I mean, that's basically what Tim Hogan, the attorney for the school districts, told me. It's basically, mm-hmm. this is what we could get. And mm-hmm. I don't want to wait another 2 years to finish this thing off.
Well, do we have to wait then until May to the election or what?
Yeah, because that now we go to that next stop. It goes in front of voters. And then we'll hear, you know, what's so great about this plan, which will be interesting, actually, to see how that's presented.
It appears that in the Senate, the Democrats have kind of glumly fallen in line to support it. I think they largely voted for it in the end, although they opposed it up till then. Because, you know, nobody wants to be told in the election that they voted against education mm-hmm. funding, even mm-hmm. though it was because they wanted it to be either a greater amount or from a different source in the end. So,
does this take education then off the table at the legislative session?
I don't think so. Let me see. Yesterday, I don't know if you were at this, Mari, but the governor's Classrooms First or some group was here that the governor has a task force meeting to try to reform or redo the funding formula.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be really interesting. That bears a lot of watching because while interestingly in this particular bill that the special session of the legislature just passed and this set of bills, they didn't put a lot of strings on the funding. They just left it like, you know, it'll go out to the schools.
Well, the only increase is only like 200 per student more, right, than what exists
now? It's 3,600. Which is up from, I can't remember precise number. The point I was trying to get at, though, was that this group that met yesterday is going to mm-hmm. come back with some, that's where the accountability, as they would phrase it, is going to come in. Mm-hmm. They're going to be looking for ways to reward the good performers and punish the bad performers. And that sounds like a good idea, but it's awfully dangerous how you put that into effect.
And we've been there before too, and I don't think that ever seems to. It's never going to address ultimately the issues of Arizona being in the bottom rung of education across this country.
And guess where we're also in the bottom rung? Arizona's rate of uninsured kids.
That's right.
One of the highest. So we've got a lot of problems in this state.
Well, the CHIP is the key there that was ensuring children in this. In this state, and it's gone, and that's part of the problem as to why now we have the highest number of kids, or one of the highest number of kids uninsured in the state.
Tuesday is election day. Tim, you have written about the bonds, the seven bonds. I think I've seen your prediction that I think I saw you say on Facebook. You think it'll be a combination, maybe four, maybe five of the seven will pass. Is that
I'm just taking wild guesses, of course. But yeah, I would be surprised if we don't pass.
But you're so knowledgeable in these prognostics.
Which ones do you think are going to pass?
Yes.
Come on. Put some money down.
Okay. What I need to do before I say that is
make some picks.
Remember what it was that I said I was voting for.
Okay.
And then I can tell you for sure what I think is going to win.
Okay,
so
tell us what you're voting for.
But no, I think the ones that are most likely to win, I would have to think Rhodes is likely to shoe in.
Mm-hmm. Flood control?
Flood control, I would assume.
It's not that sexy.
It's not sexy. It's the last of the seven, it'll get a lot less votes, but you'd think people will just check the box because those people should know what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small amount also, mm-hmm. $17 million.
Right.
The tourism one was one that I thought might raise a little. It's a lot of it goes to individual projects,
mm-hmm.
And that's where I could imagine if people read up on this, they could say,
There are 99 individual projects that are covered. And we had Steve Kay on the program, Councilman Kasatchek, yesterday. And he said that what he feels is very critical is the Sonoran Corridor, that particular part of the bond passes. He feels that's really a big deal.
So that's, I believe, the tourism one in open
space. I think
space,
it might be. I don't have that.
No, that is actually the roads.
Roads.
It's in the
it's
roads.
Under the roads.
And,
no.
And so I think it's a very
that's a
likely.
Done deal.
Yeah, that's going to happen. It also is going to require, I think require is the right word, funding from the federal government. Martha McSally is working on that in the Congress, as I recall, getting it on the highway bill. So economic development, it's just from its name. I said I'm leaning no on that, but I wouldn't be surprised if voters went for it, just because obviously we need jobs and higher paying jobs around here.
And some feel that open space will be shot down, but I wonder about that. People around here tend to like open space.
Well, we have been a county that's always embraced that policy. I mean, with the Sonoran Desert Protection Plan, as being part of our zoning and codes as one way to save us all from, being eaten by development.
Yeah. I think one safe bet election day will be that we will be getting rid of the red light cameras.
Yeah. You think so? I've heard it's about 50-50 right now.
Oh, really?
But I mean, that means probably it's going to go, I imagine.
Yeah, I that's what I figured too, Bill, but I have
Mark
no idea.
Speer was with us, and Mark, of course, has been really, he's done so much research in that area, and he was on the show on Tuesday, and I think Mark said that across the country, out of, say, 30 times this has been on the ballot, maybe only once or twice that people have decided they want to keep
the red light cameras.
Yeah. So that one, I think, is a pretty safe bet that we'll probably be seeing the last of the red light cameras. And I think the public will probably, the city voters, will the charter changes seem to be... haven't heard a lot of opposition to those.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, there will be enough votes to even count on that one. I assume people will just check the yes box and move on, but
yeah,
maybe not.
I mean, I think that there's always that perception, do we want to give more politicians more money? But,
that's the third proposition about money for the more money.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Those two could work together, though. Right. There's the charter changes. I can't remember where they are on the ballot. The charter changes come before the...
They do.
Right. So I think that gives the charter changes a better chance. If the more money for council members was first, I think you'd have a better chance that everyone would say no to the money for council members and then no for the charter changes. Bill, I just wanted to go back to the open space. I think that is a fascinating barometer of where we're at in this county right now, because 15 years ago or so when this was starting, clearly this is something that the public supported. We made a lot of land purchases since then
with the Sonoran Desert Protection Plan.
And then we've gone through this a recession and a period of growing discontent with local government. And I don't know if it's grown big enough to reject something like that, but I wouldn't be that surprised if it had.
So you're saying it's almost going to be like a harbinger of where we are in the county.
Yeah,
right
I'm just
now.
Thinking
yeah.
maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, several of them definitely could be, but that one for sure. I think
the city is talking about a new police chief from Richmond, California. Richmond is a rather small, the police force is about a third the size of Tucson. Richmond is over in the East Bay, San Francisco Bay area. One of the candidates from San Jose dropped out. Steve, again, going back to my interview yesterday with Mr. Kasatchek, we were talking about all the big problems. Certainly that the new chief will be inheriting the police want more money, and then you have all the pension issues. So this is going to be a big deal for a new chief, Mari.
Yeah, it is. The ongoing neglect, I guess, I think there's no doubt some of the folks in the force would say that in terms of negotiations and feeling that they're not have been neglected in that area. He's definitely going to have to come in, or I guess it's a he all around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, be a he.
Come in and deal with that, and hopefully be ready to negotiate.
790-2040. I think we are, Dave, we lost David. Okay. The new, we have a new phone system here, right, Tom? And sometimes we are losing a call or two. But anyway, so certainly that's going to be a big issue. Mr. Kasacek was also pointing out, Tim, that we not only we've got, of course, a new city manager who Steve Kay believes is doing a great job, Mr. Ortega. We're going to have a new police chief, business development officer, the head of business
promotion or recruitment.
However, yeah. I'm not sure the exact title. And then the zoning commissioner has now resigned.
No.
And his letter of resignation said something about he was not at all happy about being some political pressure.
Political interference.
Political interference. So we'll have to see how all that
plays out. Isn't that job
out.
Always political interference, though? Yeah, I mean, well, this is zoning in Tucson. That's politics supreme.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, it's definitely a tough job where you're going to be pushed from all sides. And it's just a question of, we don't know. He won't express the details of what he's talking about. But that is going to be a job where you're having political pressure on you. So what's the limit of what's appropriate? I guess that's the question.
David is waiting, and we have David now at 790-2040. Go ahead, David.
Yes. I want to make my remarks. I am very dissatisfied with local government. I live in Marana, and I'm dissatisfied with Marana. They just annexed and rezoned land for development. And their planning is in the wastebasket. You go up to the top of the Tortolita foothills, and they're just bulldozing 30-foot swirls to make way for wall-to-wall houses. Okay, they could put those houses along the I-10, the freeway, where it's just empty land, like around Tangerine and Ever Valley Road, there's just not farmland or empty land. But they put the high-density development right in the most environmentally sensitive area. And that's the reason why I support the open space ponds. The only way we have of saving our desert from this rampant development. And also have some dissatisfaction with the county government, even though they are working to save our desert and limit development, which is good because unchecked development has driven my taxes through the stratosphere. When they delisted the pigment, my taxes went from $1,500 to over $5,000. Well, I'm dissatisfied with the county in that they just keep spending money and all these projects and all that need to tighten their belt.
All right, David, thank you very much for having your voice heard on KVOI The Voice. We're going to have to wrap it up right here. Mari, thank you very much. We'll look for the Best of Tucson, the hardcover issue at your newsstands all over town and the usual places where you get the weekly. Have a great weekend. Same to you, Tim.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
You gotta see me again. She's so young, I know I should send her away.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Thank you. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Welcome to Weekend Watch, hosted by Matt Russell, the award-winning Russell Public Communication owner and award winner, won a bunch of awards this week. And he is also, of course, the Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist. Weekend Watch, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do. It's a great weekend getaway. A hike in the Gila National Wilderness, which looks so beautiful right now with after the rain and the autumn leaves turning. Great weekend getaway. Wonderful places to stay in the area, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon and Pinos Altos Cabins, just to name a few. You can find out about all the things to do and places to stay by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, Matt Russell, the president and CEO of Russell Public Communications. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just about ready to kick off my Halloween weekend. I'm excited.
Yeah, you wore that funny costume, didn't you, to the office today?
Are we on a video call? Can you see me right now, Bill?
Always fun. That big giant pumpkin head that you always put on every Halloween. It's just darn right scary, like some of the Halloween parties around town tonight.
Yeah, you know what? And so much going on with Halloween on a weekend this year. And our friends at Dante's Fire on Grant Road have a party planned a little bit later in the night after you've emptied your candy bags and have a sitter arranged up for the kids. Starting at 10 p.m. tomorrow night, they're going to be serving up all kinds of specials on selections from pumpkin porters to their world-famous pumpkin bacon bisque, in addition to their regular late-night menu. Add a DJ and, of course, a costume contest, and this promises to be a super fun night out for the adult Halloween crowd at Dante's Fire.
It's autumn, and that means food festival time a lot of places around town.
Yeah, for the daytime Halloween crowd, I recommend the biannual Viva La Local Food Festival, which is tomorrow from 9 to 5 at Rialto Park over there on First Avenue. You can eat, drink, and be merry with 25 of our top local restaurants, breweries, and wineries, each offering samples of their best dishes and drinks. Five local bands are going to be performing, and a farmer's market with 70 local purveyors. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow for Viva La Local.
Hey, that redo up at Hacienda del Sol looks so nice, the expansion.
every time I drive by, there's something new and fun and fresh happening there. And this Sunday is no exception. There's never been a better time for the culinary version of the tango than at the 11th annual Argentina Heart and Soul event on Sunday from 4 to 7 up at the Hacienda del Sol. Argentinian cuisine is going to take over the courtyard, from suckling pig to chili rubbed ribs and empanadas, tamales, and, of course, a showcase of wines from Argentina and around the world with live Latin jazz. Going to give you an authentic experience without needing to fly to Buenos Aires, and it's only $65 a person. Argentina Heart and Soul is Sunday at the Hacienda.
Save a Malbec for me. That's some great wine from Argentina,
delicious,
I'll tell you. What's in the column this week, Matt?
Well, Bill, color me giddy, because National Scrapple Day is only 10 short days away, and I have everything you need to know about how best to celebrate the magnificence of pan-fried pork scraps in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. My mouth is watering, Bill Buckman.
Trick-or-treating with Matt Russell. Have a great weekend.
You too.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The company is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of the team here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, our fine operations manager and producer Ray Allen, producers Tom Fairbanks and Ed Alexander, production ace Jerry Cross, my assistant Rosemary Brandt. Have a safe and wonderful Halloween weekend.